landed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
We had a lot of history in Super Bowl 58. Bunch of the longest field goals ever. The first overtime with the new rules. The longest Super Bowl game ever. And it's going to go down as the most watched program. Program. Not game, program in television history, Angel. According to Nielsen and Adobe Analytics. Just like to say that way. Feels like you need to say it that way. The Chiefs' overtime victory over the Niners averaged 123.4 million viewers across television and streaming platforms. That shattered last year's mark of 115.1 million. Insane. Insanity. Is it the Taylor Swift thing? Is it the Dynasty thing? Is it all of it mixed together? What is it, Angel? Oh, here it comes.
The best movies that have the best scripts usually get the most money. So I think the NFL, seeing these numbers, they say, hey, everyone loves a sequel, right?
You
saw what those Avengers movies did. You could do that too, but we're going to change it up.
You're going to die on this hill, aren't you? You're going to die on it.
Listen, our world runs around money. And the NFL is going to see these ratings, say, hey, we got all these Swifties to watch this game. Do it again.
So clearly people are not tired of the Chiefs being in it.
Well, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. Everyone's watching.
I mean, yeah, everybody's going to watch this thing. You know, there's no question.
As long as I've been alive, it's been the biggest sporting event on TV every year.
Yeah, I mean, it's
a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. There's no question about it. I thought it was a great game and it had all the build-up and everything.
I agree. It was a very entertaining Super Bowl. One of the better ones that I can remember.
Yeah, definitely. As far as the actual game, it was right up there, man. It was one of the greats. So I do think the Taylor Swift thing had a lot to do with it, obviously. That did. That poured in a few million, probably.
Would we see another player try to figure out a way to date a superstar to try to get some of their
things? Well, Russell Wilson's married to Sierra.
Yeah.
You know? That doesn't pack the same punch.
I don't think so.
So who's the next? Who's the big superstar we need to get one of these guys hooked up with?
I'm trying to think who's a quarterback that's single. You know, they all have girlfriends or Instagram.
Jared Stidham married? Let's get him going.
Something, you know, like a Tony Romo, Jessica Simpson type of thing.
That was a big deal.
Somebody to date a Kardashian or something. Because you're going to get lots of people that don't like the Kardashians.
That's true.
You're going to get a lot of people that do.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, it's funny you mentioned the Tony Romo, Jessica Simpson thing, because that was Kelce Swift before Kelce Swift. It was a big deal. Now, Jessica Simpson wasn't to that level that we see Taylor Swift, but she was a pretty popular figure back in the day.
Sure.
And that was like when she'd go to games, everybody was like, there's Jessica Simpson. That was a big deal. But it's a lot. The game was televised by CBS, Nickelodeon, and Univision and streamed on Paramount Plus, as well as the NFL's digital platforms. Nielsen also said a record 202.4 million watched at least part of the game across all networks, a 10% jump over last year's 183.6. So people are just kind of skimming in.
Part of the game.
I don't know.
10 seconds.
Halftime.
Like, hey, let me look at the score.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, half
click on it for a little bit.
I don't care about the game, but I want to watch just Usher.
The game, I don't know. Who knows, man?
Who is this Nielsen guy?
The CBS broadcast averaged 120 million. The network's previous mark for its most watched Super Bowl was 112.34 million for the 2016 Super Bowl between the Broncos and the Carolina Panthers, where the Broncos beat Cam Newton and company. That was a big one, too. Peyton Manning, a big name, a very good defense. Cam Newton, a very big name. So
Super Bowl 50.
It was a huge. And Carolina was that was Cam Newton's MVP year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Broncos were popular, extremely popular at that time. You're Peyton Manning's on your football team, and you're winning a lot of games the last few years.
It was his last game.
Yeah, you're right.
Going into it, it was potentially his last.
Now, this is something that we need to note here. Some of the increase can be attributed to a change in the way viewers are counted now. Nielsen began including out-of-home viewers in its ratings in 2020, but only from limited markets. The measurement expanded to all 50 states beginning this year. So are those...
What does out-of-home mean?
Out-of-home...
I'm driving to the grocery store
watching
it
on my phone. So if you're watching it at a bar...
Oh, okay.
You're counting, like, if B-Dubs allows 30 people in there, I don't know how many people they can get in there, 100.
Does that count for each TV? Because there's, like, 30 TVs.
How do they do that, though? do they just, like, do they have TVs that are set up in bars and restaurants, and they just, do they just assume that that they've reached capacity in that bar and restaurant, and they count those as viewers? I've always wondered that. Vince Vaughn makes reference to that in Anchorman.
It might be 85 maximum occupancy, and you have 20 TVs going.
Yeah.
And all the TVs are on the same channel. Are you counting the TVs, or are you just counting
I don't know. Well, this is why in Anchorman, when Vince Vaughn gets mad at, or when whatever hit Wes Mantooth. Was Vince Vaughn's character, and Ron Burgundy's like, we have the best ratings again. And Mantooth's like, that those ratings are falsified, man. That's not taking into account to houses with more than one TV. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have like six TVs on and on the same channel, and that's you live with just you and your wife, and that's counting as six people. It's just two. Vince Vaughn had it right. Wes Mantooth had it right. I don't know how they do it, man.
TV ratings are.
They're strange.
When you add all the streamings and different ways to watch it, like when you do the Nickelodeon numbers, are you just counting the kids that are watching it or the adults that have it on for the kids?
Was there a part of you that wanted to switch over and watch the Nickelodeon Super Bowl coverage? And the second question is, did you just do that? Did you do it?
I did not, but I've been seeing lots of clips from it on social media.
I want to take in a game.
Having the voice actors actually be in like motion capture suits and doing live commentary.
That would be so fun.
That's pretty cool. Sandy Cheek, sideline reporter.
And it was
Larry the Lobster running around on the field.
Was Patrick Starr the play-by-play guy?
I think he was the color guy.
And then SpongeBob was play-by-play?
Yeah. And then I think one of them ticked off Patrick Starr at one point. They were like, how do you come up with your campfire songs? And he's like, what's your point? Like, getting kind of a little angry.
That'd be funny,
Squidward,
man.
Was waiting in line for the bathrooms the whole game, so...
I love that it's live. Like, that's a live thing that they do.
I don't know how much kids, like, is that really capturing their attention enough? Or is it just kind of
I don't know. I think of, like, when they made Sports Illustrated for kids. I don't know if that was around when you were mm-hmm. growing up, but it was sports, but it was fun. And you had little cards you could tear out of it, little posters you could pull out, and it was like, I didn't really read it, you know, but the pictures were better, and it was all that stuff. Read it for the articles. No, I'm not gonna at that when Sports Illustrated for Kids came out, it was all the rage. But I was like six, you know, and I'm like, I'm not reading about what's John Elway gonna do to win the big game. I'm like, I don't know, man. What's his favorite color? Like, that's what I want to know. What's he into? Oh, there's a card of him. I'm taking that. Don't need the rest of this magazine. So I just wonder if like the Nickelodeon version of this is kind of like that. Where you're seeing the slime, you're seeing all that stuff, and that's kind of fun, and you kind of like Patrick Mahomes, but you never really watched the game. You just heard about him, and he's your favorite player. But you're seeing him get slimed.
Stories from kids in 10, 15 years saying, I got into football because of
I don't know.
SpongeBob and Patrick talking about
it. When did they start doing this?
Just I think they did it last year.
Just the last 2 years?
You know, they did the Broncos-Rams Christmas game, kind of like that.
I'd be curious.
Yeah, I mean, for me 10 growing years. Up, it was just there's football on. There's a lot of people at this house. I don't know what's going on.
What got me into sports the most, obviously my family, we went to games and stuff, and they always watched games. But, you know, as a kid, my age at that time, it was Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Because you just, all you hear about is Michael Jordan. You know, they made songs about Michael Jordan. They made toys about Michael Jordan.
Is that McDonald's?
They slammed that in your face all the time. You had no choice. You had to like Michael Jordan, and I love Jordan, and that made me watch basketball more. And then that in turn makes you like appreciate the competition and all that stuff that goes into it. And then you're looking at, you know, football and all these other sports. So that's what got me into it. I liked the fun stuff that they added, but they marketed the hell out of Michael Jordan, and that grew everybody as a sports fan, I think, back in the day.
I mean, like, for me, obviously Alabama, they don't have a professional sports team, so it's you, like they say, when you're born, it's either crimson and white or orange and blue, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And you kind of grow up in that, and you grow in elementary school talking trash to each other in first grade, and like, you don't know what we're talking about, but Auburn won, Bama won, man, you suck, loser, like, first graders, we don't know what we're talking about. Like, yeah. It gets you into that.
Loser.
Like, I want to be able to be a part of this.
Heck yeah, you do. No,
and then you grow
no
up
question.
And realize, okay, it's either I'm a Saints fan, a Titans fan, or a Falcons fan, or some other outskirts one of those.
Yeah.
I ended up being none of them.
Well, either way, a lot of people watched this game, and it was a big deal. 17 minutes after the hour, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to get more into this attendance thing, but I also want to talk about recency bias with Patrick Mahomes. Let's get to that coming back. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. I think this whole Jeff Linder thing, It's got people kind of going off on it on Twitter, and like Rams fans are getting upset and everything. And I get it. You hate Wyoming. You hate Jeff Linder. It just sounds like complaining. But Angel, I know Jeff Linder. I know he was having these frustrations, and I'm not knocking UNC because clearly this is a thing that is difficult to do nationwide. But I know Jeff was frustrated with the attendance situation there, specifically the student section. Now he's in Wyoming. Cody put out a very interesting article at 7220sports.com about Jeff's thoughts of, you know, how do we get people involved? We got to go do something, man. We got to go make this thing the Dome of Doom again. And that's not really what it is right now. Linder in Cody's article said someone's got to talk about it. It's not good enough. That's the bottom line. Yes, you have to win. I agree. I made this case years ago, Angel. I had an old co-host with me, and you probably know him. But, he was frustrated that people weren't going to UNC games at the time. This was years ago. And I remember we had this debate, and that was when the football program, I mean, you know, it has always been bad since I've been at KFKA. I said, you got to win. You got to win. Make it an event, but also you got to win. It could be the best event in the world, but you got to win. You're an Alabama fan. There's a lot of people that like to watch Alabama games or Notre Dame games or big games on college football, or heaven forbid, go see some fall festivals during football season. You go out on the weekends with your family and stuff. You're not locked in front of the TV. This is Colorado, bro. There are so many things you can go do, especially in the fall. And if you want me to go attend your game and I want to devote 4 hours to you on a Saturday, you got to win. You got to make it an event for me. You got to do some of those things. And we had this debate back and forth. And I said, this is Northern Colorado. It's growing. This is Colorado with a state that's Broncos country. During the fall, you have the Broncos going. You have the Nuggets going. You have the Avalanche going. You have the Rams going. The Buffs, the Cowboys, the Bears, high school sports. You have a lot of things that you're committing to on a regular basis. If I'm going to your game, better be a good one. Better be fun. Better be something that I can expect you to be competitive in, or it's got to be the event of a lifetime that my kids will never forget. And we had this back and forth argument of it doesn't need to be that way. And I remember saying, what do you mean it doesn't need to be this way? It's a business, bro. They're paying money to go see you. And if you're telling me just to go because that's what you're supposed to do, that's a hard ask. So I agree. You got to win.
But when you start giving me players that are exciting, maybe you're not winning all the time, but you got players that are like Graham, EK, Hunter Maldonado, then that should get me excited. But are you marketing those players? Are you doing free beer for a year? Are you doing free pizza night? Is Coach Linder or Coach Medved handing out free pizza to the students that show up? Are you doing free headband night? That kind of, I mean, it's a headband, but it's still something. It does mix together. Now, if you're just an atrocious program and you never win and you're like that one team we followed that UNC beat that has like four players on the team and they ride around on like a station wagon. Or Isai Chris was supposed to be our sideline reporter for that, and he gave up after like five games, really disappointed. But I would like to know more about that. Northern New Mexico, is that what it was? So like maybe you're just that team that's never winning anything and you're getting blown out by 30. Okay, don't expect me to go. But Wyoming has had in recent years with Linder has had some success. Angel, we were talking about Nico Medved and Jeff Linder both perhaps being coaches that will be sought after and going to that next level. So I get what Linder's saying. But you do have to win. You have, when people are there to watch your games at home, you got to deliver some victories for them. I liked what Cody said about players. Angel, you going to UNC, how cool would that have been? You knew some of the players by then. You knew of them. How cool would that have been if a player you kind of knew of knocked on your dorm room and it was like, hey, here's a free ticket or whatever. Here's a free coupon for pizza. We'd love for you to come out to our game tonight or tomorrow night. You might, as a new student, I know I would have, a football player, basketball player is like, hey, man, we want to see you at the game. That might have honestly moved me enough to go, I'm going to go check that out.
Yeah. For being recently out of college, it's when you're talking to college students, it's you have to make it kind of a big social thing. You have to make it something that a college student will hear about it. They'll go to a lunch one day and tell their friends, say, hey, let's all go to this basketball game tonight. And they're going to tell five people, and they'll tell five people.
Mm-hmm.
That we would have players come into classes sometimes, like before a class would start. You know, you'd be walking in, sitting down, there's a basketball player sitting with the teacher, and it's like, hey, real quick, we're having a big game tonight. It's, you know, free pizza night, or I know UNC did we're doing a state flag night, and they got, you know, a new uniform look to them, and they're giving out little towels or something. It's those little things that you do have to go out of your way to do it. Whether, you know, I know UNC, they'll send the players out on golf carts around campus and hand out little tickets or whatever, like you've said. And you have to, like, for college students, you have to make it an event worth going to.
True.
Because yeah. College students, they're in class all day. They're stressed out. They're in the library all day. A lot of them just want to go home and sit and do what college kids do on weeknights.
What do they do on weeknights?
You know what they're doing. And you have to make it a thing to do. And UNC has had some few games in the last few years where they do pack it out. The Weber State game, I believe last year when it was on ESPNU, that's as full as I've ever seen it. The CIT tournament game they had in 2018, that was a full Bank of Colorado arena. Obviously, because it's a tournament game, it's a big deal. I think what I've noticed this year, Thursday night games are usually more attended than Saturday games because college kids, as much as they are sitting at home on weekdays, they're also going home on the weekends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and, you know, I was that college kid sometimes. Like, Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting at home. I'm tired of the week. Work in school. I want to just sit at home.
And
I can watch the game on TV or I can listen to it on the radio.
If UNC was like football, you know, you got a Saturday coming up and you knew that they were 7-0 and they got this quarterback named Jacob Knipp that is going to, you know, people are talking about him. Maybe he could get drafted. I don't know. Or Slaughter, who was a big name for the Bears. Would that have been enough to be like, dude, I can get in for free. I'm going to go check that out.
Yeah. I mean,
But 0-7.
I was a student, I was, you know, going to games at least, you know, for the first half. And that's a trend with UNC football is students will show up for tailgating because it's tailgating.
Yeah.
Every college kids like to do that. But also, the game starts at 11 o'clock. And you tell me I got to get up at 9 to go tailgate for 2 hours?
For a student, that's crazy if you're not working, you know.
It's hot outside because it's in the middle of the afternoon in September.
Yep.
And okay, it's a tight game. It's a competitive game. The Bears had a lot of those this year, but we're going to leave at halftime because I'm going to go take a nap before our big party tonight or whatever.
Right. No,
college kids are a very interesting market to try to attract.
They've done a better job, and I credit that to UNC. They have created more of a tailgate kind of environment and stuff. They're working on that, and it's getting better. I remember going to CSU games at Hughes, and it was like we were there for the first half as a player or as a fan, and you're just like, do you? And I always personally wanted to stay. You know, I want to stay in the second half, but it would be more of a no. We got a party going on tonight, you know. We're going to head back to the house, play some video games or whatever, and then we'll see what happens. Drink some, you know, Pepsi products of some sort.
Something in a can.
Yeah, and then you just, that's it. You know, you're going to have fun there. But I'm telling you, I'm a sports fan, and if I would have been like, dude, this is a good team. I don't want to leave. I would have stayed and watched. It's a mixed bag of all that. So what Linder's saying, he's not wrong. You got to win. You do have to win. But people, because people have, we're all competing for them now. We're all competing for these, and we have such a short attention span. People have their cellular phones, and they're on them all the time, and they can watch quick videos of whatever the hell they want. That can consume hours of your time if you're not careful. You have every movie now. You don't have to really wait for a lot of stuff to come out on DVD. It's there quickly now, much faster than it used to be. You have 4 million outlets that you can go watch shows and movies and old games, new games, whatever. Or if you're just a sports fan, you can watch whatever the hell you want. You camp out in front of the couch and watch football from sun up to sundown almost.
Oh, and when you talk about just college athletics, these coaches, they bring in prospects, recruits, say, hey, we want you to come watch that. We're playing CSU this weekend, or we're playing Utah State this weekend. It's going to be a big game for us. We want you to come and sit in the stands and get a feel for the environment. If that recruit looks over at the student section and it's empty, they're going to say, why would I come here? You don't even have student support. You know, there's a quarter of the stadium. Yeah.
That is my example of when I went to a concert venue in the area, I'll say. And I go to watch a band that I grew up loving. And the opening act was there, and it was kind of weird. And there was me, my buddy, and two other people there. So I'm not exaggerating. And I liked the band. I stayed and finished the whole thing, and it was cool. But I'll admit, I was like, I don't want to come here again to watch this because nobody else is here. Part of the concert is everybody's there jamming out and it's loud and it's a scene. If you can't make it a fun scene, then I'm out. I can go listen to the album on my own or something like that.
It becomes a part of your pitch to prospects and to donors or alumni or sponsors. Like, hey, we have a great student section. They're always rowdy. They're always having fun.
Right.
And the sponsor's like, okay, I'm going to come check it out. They come check it out. No one's there. Did you just make that up?
And Angel, we went up, my buddy and I, we were there late. We're in. We're committed. We went and talked to the lead singer of the band. You know, nobody else is. We could just sit and have a beer with him. And he was really frustrated that they didn't market that specific concert. They didn't market it. That's what he had heard. Well, I don't know. I don't know the details of it, but he was frustrated because they didn't market the event. And the band was Flaw, named Flaw. We've played some of their stuff on this show. An amazing band. I've seen them recently sell out smaller venues, but I've seen it before. So it does come down to, do you have crappy music? Okay, maybe you have crappy music, but you're awesome and you're really fun in it. You're entertaining and you do all these other crazy things. Or do you have great music, but nobody knows you're in town? Nobody knows you're there. It was a last second thing. We barely got it out on social media 5 minutes ago and the show's coming up. It is a mix. You got to market. You got to win. You got to make it an experience. Why is Taylor Swift so great? It's not just her singing. Her concerts, I hear, are an event. You go to them and it's like you're at the Cinderella Ball, man. I don't know what she does. She does weird stuff. I'm a big fan of the heavy metal band Slipknot. They're not just up there screaming. They are putting on a freaking show. The drummer, they lift him up as high as they possibly can, and they start turning him upside down slowly over and over, and finally it's going so damn fast, you can't keep up, and he's drumming the whole time. That's a story I walked away, and that's the first thing I said. The drummer was lifted above the freaking arena, and he's spinning and drumming at the same time. Make it an event. And I know I'm comparing concerts to games, but I've seen games where they do some amazing things, man.
Remind me of sports entertainment?
It sure seems like it. It sure seems like it.
And, you know, winning does help, but it's about the things that you do when the team is winning that creates
capitalize.
And keeps it going.
You got to capitalize on it. Again, you have a stud player. You have to take that stud player and you have to market them. And NIL makes it weird now. I get that. But you have to take him. You have to grow. I love what UNC's doing with St. Thomas. You know, his isn't like a sexy marketing appeal because we're like, he's a great player, but he's advertising, you know, going through mental health crisis and things like that. And I'm not saying they're taking advantage of that because they're certainly not, but people are paying attention because they're inspired by that story. And he just so happens to be damn good at basketball. Those things work hand in hand. And so now you keep marketing that. Steve Smiley does a phenomenal job of reaching out to his donors and updating them with videos and stats and information of all of his former players that are out playing professional basketball. That makes me go, damn, he's churning out some good players. I wonder if he's got any now. It is a lot of work. It is not for the faint of heart. And, you know, when Linder's speaking it, Cody told us, he's speaking to the administration more than he is the students, more than the fans. So I actually love what he did, but I also say there's pressure on you, too, to win. You still got to win. So there is a mix. I don't think CSU Rams fans are wrong on this, but to just flat out go to you're not winning, that's why, it's a mix, man, and I know that personally.
So do you have an update on Northern New Mexico basketball?
Oh, yeah, what's going on with that? You said Chris give you that?
They finished their regular season.
Yeah?
At 7-11.
It's not bad.
4-2 in conference play.
What's even better? They only had six conference games?
Yes. 2-1.
What, do they play
home.
Like one team six times?
Something like that. They are in the... What conference was that? They are in the CAC conference.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
tournament
competitive.
Will start February 29th.
That's a competitive conference. The CEC?
Yep. CAC.
CAC. What does it stand for? The... Champions Attack Champions League. Yeah, I bet that's what it is, actually. I'm thinking that's what it is. I'm bummed, you said, Chris. You are our Northern New Mexico guy, man. You were on it for a while, and then you just kind of, you said, you know what, I'm done with this team. I'm quitting halfway. Maybe he did finish it. I don't know, because they had like 8 games, apparently.
18.
Okay, 18, 7-11. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, good for them. Good for that team. They had like 3 people. 36 minutes after the hour. Angel... Let's take a quick break. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flat.
This is Ali Farouk Manesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFK.
Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Chevron. This is a good text. This is a good point. But I'm going to follow this up. Smitty says... CSU had a down season last year. The key difference was Wyoming lost most of their players, graduated, or hit the portal. We just lost a few and kept our core. And while that is true, you look at what CSU did. I don't have the full numbers in front of me, Angel, but last year their attendance through 9 games, and I pulled this up from an old article from the Coloradoan. Maybe you can find that for me. 2021-22, they did, you know, what was the year they went dancing? Was 21-22? Was that the year they went dancing? They had some good numbers there. 2020 was no fans and all that stuff, but I just think that their numbers in 21-22 was 5,169 was the average there. So I would like to see the follow-up year after that, because it would be last year. What was their average attendance last year? That would be the 22-23 season, because last year was a down year. Isaiah Stevens started out hurt. That was your first year without David Roddy. But I'd be curious. I think they were good numbers, because I remember having Kevin Lytle on with us talking about it. It was the follow-up. You promoted yourself in such a large way through Moby Madness and David Roddy and Isaiah Stevens and all these lovable players that you just got, you started to really like. You marketed that so well. You know, so I would like to know that attendance from 22 and 23, because that's your follow-up year after the March Madness year. Because success, it is a mixed bag, and it's also players. You're right. Wyoming lost a lot of players. Graham EK, why not? He's going to Gonzaga. Same thing as Dalton Connect. Same story here at UNC. And then Hunter Maldonado was there. They had them last year, right? I mean, they had Graham didn't play a game, but he was on the team. You know, and I know that excitement factor goes away. They kept thinking he was going to come back. They used it as a carrot. He never came back.
So what was that one for?
22-23.
What was the first number you had? 5,000 something?
5,169.
Okay. So in 2022-23, Rams went 15-18, mm-hmm. 6-12 in conference play.
Yeah.
They averaged in 16 home games, 4,759.
So down from the March Madness year, but by about, what, 1,000 or so, less than that? You know, they hold, I think Moby holds, what, 8,000? So that's still pretty strong.
I went looking for 2020, not realizing that there were no fans.
And you were like, damn, that average went down. Wow. Average is awful.
About, through 14 home games, they're averaging about 6,500.
That's winning. Too, but your follow-up, you know, you go back and you have that number for me, 4,759.
Yes.
That was after. Now, I don't have the numbers fully for 21-22, but I have 51-69 through nine games. I would imagine that went up. That skyrocketed. If you have that number for me, we are researching on the fly. 21-22, I had that. That's just through nine games. Just to note that.
So 21,
that had to go up.
Through 15 home games, 61-74.
Yeah. Okay, so they went up by 1,000, and your capacity's 8, and you got 61. So the following year, you did 47-59. Down, but still fairly strong, considering the Rams were never really a threat to do anything once the season got going. It just, they didn't have it. And they ended up actually having a pretty good showing in the Mountain West Conference. But it is success. It's about how you market that success, and then you have to keep going with that. But, yeah, you want to be able to establish that and get your fan base really excited about your product, even if you are going to have some down years in between.
Looking at 2019 to 2020, it's about 3,382. So it was right around 3,300 in 2019. Obviously, COVID, no one was going to games. Jumped up because they went to March Madness, fell a bit, and now it's back up.
So we're going to say winning is number one.
Yes.
You got to win. So, Linder, you got to win. But you were winning, you know, right off the bat. What, his first or second year there?
In 2019, they were 20-12.
Yeah. Wasn't that the year they went to the, they were the last four in?
I believe so.
Or was it the next year?
2019,
so many
20
things.
Would have been the year right before COVID.
Yeah, so they were the last four in when CSU went with David Roddy. Mm-hmm. So it was the next year. So that first year they were good. Yep. That was his first year with them, I believe. Yeah, because Smiley's first year was for UNC. Mm-hmm. He had to deal with COVID.
Right.
So they were good that year. The next year they got in. They weren't an official, but they got in. Mm-hmm. However you want to say it in your mind. I'm not arguing with you.
Did they lose the last
four games? I think they lost to Dayton.
Okay.
I want to say they lost to Dayton. But you were good enough to at least get there. Mm-hmm. And then the follow-up year was last year. Graham EK's hurt. And Hunter Maldonado, I think he battled stuff. So they didn't fare so great. It also, they hold a lot more. It's bigger. Smitty's saying that's a great point. What is it, 11,000? 11,600. Yeah, it's bigger. It looks bad. If they only get 4,000 in there, it doesn't look so good. You get 4,000 in Moby, it looks a little bit better, quite a bit better. I think that's a great point by Smitty.
So here's for Wyoming. This is the 2021 season.
Okay. 2021.
52-66.
That was their average
per game.
Okay.
That was 2021, so that was when they did.
That was their That was their last four in year.
Last year, 42-07.
Okay, so their follow up year was rough.
This year, 39-58.
significant. Again, I am going back to it. It comes down to winning. But there are other factors, too. Can I read this text from you, Billy Bob? Can I read this text from you, Billy Bob? SI, if you know what I mean. I don't know. Some of these people I talk to on a, like, in person and not on the show, but just, I don't know if they want their names out there. Texter here. Bottom line is that Linder's program has been faceless in his fourth year with no improvement from year one to year four. No, because year one to year two was a vast improvement. Mm-hmm. You go COVID year. Are we just throwing COVID year out? Because that was his first year. Second year, they're the last four in against Dayton. Third year, which was last year. Is that right? This is only his fourth year with Wyoming? Is this only Steve Smiley's fourth year with UNC?
Yep.
That's insane. I mean, in a good way.
He started when I was still in school.
Okay, so this is Linder's fourth year. I guess that's why the texter said from year one to year four. If you carry the four sometimes, it's amazing what happens. I wouldn't say it's been awful. Is it faceless? I don't know. I mean, you had Graham Ek. You found that guy. He was going to be a bear. If Linder would have stayed there, he'd be gone. Probably followed Dalton Connect. But I would say Linder's a pretty good coach. And from, you know, year one's COVID, they were okay. Year two, you're somewhat dancing. You're like in the slow dance part. And then year three, bad. Your stud player's hurt all year, and he already knows he's leaving. And then fourth year, this year, better. Better than last year. I thought they'd be crap this year. But they're good. So there's a lot to it. It does come down to winning, but it's not like Linder's just putting out a three-win program. It's not like 7-11, Northern New Mexico. 12:48 the time. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Stay up to speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Tuesday at Cable's Pub and Grill is Burger Madness. For $9.99, you can have all the madness as far as burgers go at Cable's Pub and Grill. You're going to love it. It's the best place around. Seriously, I'm not just saying this. All my friends meet there. They're probably meeting there right now. I don't even know if they have jobs, but they're there. Delicious food, a wonderful atmosphere, great service, fantastic people that are serving you on a daily basis. That's Cable's Pub and Grill. Check out their website, cablespubandgrill.com.
It is Fat Tuesday, so go eat.
Oh, yeah. That's don't have to tell me twice, Angel. You know, when does this show get over? Still the same time, I'm guessing, right? It's not an abbreviated show or anything? I'm starting to get hungry.
Not for a couple of weeks, Brady. Rocky's getting bit.
We get time off? I don't know if we're preempting as much this year, but we'll see.
Oh, they're going to be good this year. So.
Oh, probably won't even lose. I don't even think they're going to lose.
They're going to lose games.
They're going to make history.
The potential. I mean, they're in the playoffs this year.
Are you getting the bus? The Tanner
I'm
Angel
not in
bus?
Charge of that. That's Tanner's.
But you're going to get on it. Are you getting on it? You drove
they
it.
They said I'd give it till like June, and then I'll see. But I'm still going to pay attention. You know, it's like, you know, everyone wants to see, you know, car accident, everyone stops to look at it.
So. For a while, and then you're kind of like, man, there's a lot of car accidents here. It's starting to get uncomfortable. Should probably keep my eyes on the road.
Staring at me. Yeah. Been here a while.
Rubbernecking too much. Steve texting in, KenPom for Wyoming the past 4 years was 164, 64, 162, 174. I mean, do you give him kind of a pass for last year with Wyoming at all?
I would.
I mean, your star's out. Maybe not.
You're going off KenPom of this year.
I mean,
I
gave CSU a pass last year, but their fans, again, they marketed so well that their fans still showed out. You said, I mean, honestly, Wyoming did 39-58 last year. CSU did what? Did you already lose? I don't remember what it was. This is a lot of numbers people are throwing out at me. 22-23 was 47-59. So they were more.
I mean, Bracketology is projecting 4, maybe 5 Mountain West teams. If Wyoming gets in the top 5, which they're right outside of, if not there.
I don't see it happening, but it could happen.
Could happen.
Yeah.
Going to run in the tournament.
Hey, you beat Utah State tomorrow.
I'm not going off of KenPom of February 13th.
Well, there's a lot of fans that I don't know go off of that. I mean, they just kind of go off of, is it a fun environment? Okay. Have you ever been to an Eagles game?
No.
Colorado Eagles? Okay. Bad example.
I've heard good things.
Okay. If I were to say, hey, Angel, just play along. You want to go to a Colorado Eagles game with me on Friday? You've heard good things about it. It's a blast.
Yeah, I've heard it's fun. Are they any good?
I don't know. But it's fun. But, like, that's different. Man. That's the Eagles. My mother and father-in-law went over there on Friday night. And they took pictures. They had, like, awesome seats and it's jam-packed. And I'm, like, messing with my father-in-law. I'm like, what's the record? He's like, I don't know. We just got tickets. It seemed like a fun thing to do.
Sure.
A lot of people will go to an Eagles game without caring what their record is. Why is that? I'm asking the question. Well, I mean, I've been to a couple. When I was there, it was a blast.
Pure hockey fan? I mean, there's a lot of hockey
Maybe.
Fans here.
I'm not like a pure... People know me. They might say I'm a pure hockey fan, you know? Spinny do goal. I love it. And I do like hockey. I'm just not a pure hockey fan. But why do you go to an Eagles game? And they've, to be fair, they've typically been pretty good. They're also churning out Avs players now. I mean, they could. That's potential. There's a lot that goes into it. And we'll have that discussion. I think it's true on both sides. Winning is number one. There's a lot of things in between. There are a lot of things.
24-15 this season.
The Eagles?
Yes.
Okay, they're good. Then that's why they're selling out. All right, never mind. That was a bad point. Any other crappy teams that get well attendance, that get good attendance, let me know. We'll talk about it next. We got to buy or sell first. Mike Brohard will join me to preview CSU San Diego State tonight. All that coming up next.